following program will be interrupted for any important war bulletins.
When John, Paul, George, and Ringo were born, the Third Reich was blasting holes all over Europe. France was molding some of the best guerrilla fighters in ages, and England was getting a war shoved down her throat.
Achtung! Hier ist der Großdeutsche Rundfunk. Wir hören jetzt die soeben.
I speak to you for the first time as Prime Minister in a solemn hour for the life of our country, of our empire. As conquer we must, as conquer we shall.
The battle of Britain is about to begin.
So bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealths last for a thousand years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
There wasn't much to smile about. Most people got away from it all by shutting their doors and turning on their radio.
Stop twiddling your knobs, Bert.
It's old Hawhorn.
I know it is, but there's your tea.
You are about to hear our news in English.
The British Ministry of Misinformation has been conducting a systematic campaign of frightening British women and girls.
Oh, switch him off.
About the danger of being injured by...
It's October the 9th, 1940. The air raid siren is screaming through Liverpool like a banshee gone wild. And the English are running for their lives. Some never made it. When you think about it, John Winston Lennon picked a bad time to be born. But on that war-swept evening in 1940, in the month of Libra, a long-since-forgotten doctor took Julia Lennon's first child by the ankles, issued him a smart slap on the rear, and heard the first screaming sample of a voice that would fill the coming years with mass hysteria. Like all legitimate children, John Lennon did have a mother and a father. But the war did more than just kill men. A year and a half after John's birth, his father stopped sending money. Not because he'd wanted to, but because he'd made the mistake of jumping ship somewhere in the New York area and got caught. That won him a free stay at the Ellis Island jail. Not long after, he gambled and won a three-month stay in North Africa. The only stipulation being that while he was there, he remained in jail. Something about petty theft. When he finally did get home, his wife had found herself another man, and his son had found another mother. What was left? The sea beckoned, and like an obedient child, he answered. During the days and nights and years that followed, the man was well aware that back in the dirty seaport, named after a liver bird, he still had a son, and he wanted him. John was about 5 years old when his father made a final, almost grandstand effort to claim what was his. He'd come home, taken John to Blackpool for the weekend, and stayed for weeks. One afternoon, a decision was reached. John and his father would go to New Zealand. They might have made it, too, if John's mother hadn't shown up right then. John Lennon, golden-haired child of five, was about to be forced into the most important decision of his life. He had a mother, he had a father. Which one did he want more? He chose his father, and a rejected mother turned to leave. To this day, not even John Lennon can tell you what made him suddenly turn from his father and chase after his mother, but that's exactly what he did. In a way, both parents really lost, because John went back to live with his Mimi, this time for good. With his aunt, John was well-fed and well-clothed. He never went hungry in the summer, never got cold in the winter, never really wanted for anything. He had a good home. At school and away from the house, this beetle was a rebel. The kind of guy who wanted to be noticed, who had to be the leader. He didn't run with anyone, they ran with him. And even if they got in his way, he fought them, either physically or psychologically. But he fought. Rebel or rebel rouser? Who knows? They say a lot about Librans, like they shouldn't live alone. They're emotional, sensitive, creative, born leaders and fast talkers. John Lennon fit the bill. The teachers were almost afraid of him from start to finish. Mothers warned their children not to be caught around that Lennon kid. Aunt Mimi found the odd, dirty drawing or obscene poem in John's room. When she asked about them, he asked about his parents. There was no real meanness in John Lennon, just a wide streak of live and laugh for today. His school grades went on a steady decline until finally he was bottom man in the bottom class at Quarry Bank High School. When everyone else was knocking him down, his mother suddenly reappeared to pick him up. She was with him, live and laugh for today. They became very close. The two of them probably could have beaten the world. John talked his way into art school, but was so non-conformative that they wanted him out. It took them 3 years, and even then he left by choice. A lot happened to this Beatle during those 3 years, a lot that was to have a very definite effect on his life ahead.
It's a joke in the family now, but still, the, you know, the guitar's all right for a hobby, that's the big thing. It's quite, but it won't earn you any money. You know, I was obviously musical from very early, and I just wonder why nobody ever did anything about it. Because maybe because they couldn't afford it.
First off, a plump, middle-aged fella named Bill Haley with a group known as the Comets did a thing called Rock Around the Clock. And England started rocking. Lonnie Donegan made the scene, kindling the skiffle craze that was about to set Britain on fire. And in 1956, a wild, hip-swaying kid tossed Heartbreak Hotel at the world, and they caught it. Elvis Presley had set off a chain reaction that was about to start at point A and never stop. In Liverpool, skiffle groups by the hundreds sprang up overnight, all of them eager to play for anyone who'd listen. One group of five called themselves the Quarrymen. They called their leader John Lennon. They followed the Presley style right down the line, and they had a ball. Things were great, and life couldn't have been better, so it got worse. On July 15th, 1958, Julia Lennon was struck by a car and killed.
Half of what I say is meaningless, but I say it just to reach you, Julia. Julia, Julia, ocean child calls me, so I sing the song of love, Julia. Shell eyes, windy smile calls me, so I sing the song of love, Julia. Her hair of floating sky is shimmering, glimmering. Sing a song of love for Julia.
death of his mother planted a seed of utter bitterness in the 14-year-old Lennon. He became wild, more reckless, uncaring. Any woman he went with got the brunt of his hate, and none were tough enough to take it, until Cynthia Powell joined the art college. Snobbish Cynthia Powell, who waited a year before ever going out with John. But she could take his bitterness, his cursing, his cruelty, and even the odd slap. She was tough, and John Lennon fell in love with her. There was another thing that happened to John while he was at the art college. It was in 1956 at Woolton, where the Quarrymen were booked for an engagement. A friend of John's had brought a guitarist along to meet him. They met. John was drunk. The guitarist was cocky. And they hit it off so well that the Quarrymen initiated another member, Paul McCartney.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places had their moments. I still can recall. Some are dead and some are living. In my life I've loved them all. But of all these friends and lovers, there is no one compares with you. And these memories lose their meaning something new. Though I know I'll never lose affection for people and things that went before, I know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life I love you more. Stop and think about them. In my life I love you more. In my life I love you more.